tasks, Doss told me, was to draw up an earthquake and volcano hazards plan, a plan of action in the event of a crisis. There isn't one already, I said. No, afraid not. But there will be soon. Isn't that just a little tardy? He smiled. Well, let's just say that it's not any too soon. Once it is in place, the idea is that three people, Christensen in Menlo Park, California, Professor Robert B. Smith at the University of Utah, and Doss in the park, would assess the degree of danger of any potential cataclysm and advise the park superintendent. The superintendent would take the decision whether to evacuate the park. As for surrounding areas, there are no plans. If Yellowstone were going to blow in a really big way, you would be on your own once you left the park gates. Of course, it may be tens of thousands of years before that day comes. Doss thinks such a day may not come at all. Just because there was a pattern in the past doesn't mean that it still holds true, he says. There is some evidence to suggest that the pattern may be a series of catastrophic explosions, then a long period of quiet. We may be in that now. The evidence now is that most of the magma chamber is cooling and crystallizing. It is releasing its volatiles. You need to trap volatiles for an explosive eruption. In the meantime, there are plenty of other dangers in and around Yellowstone, as was made devastatingly evident on the night of August 17, 1959, at a place called Hebgen Lake, just outside the park. At 22 minutes to midnight on that date, Hebgen Lake suffered a catastrophic quake. It was magnitude 7.5, not vast, as earthquakes go, but so abrupt and wrenching that it collapsed an entire mountainside. It was the height of the summer season, though fortunately not so many people went to Yellowstone in those days as now. 80 million tons of rock, moving at more than 100 miles an hour, just fell off the mountain, traveling with such force and momentum that the leading edge of the landslide ran 400 feet up a mountain on the other side of the valley. Along its path lay part of the Rock Creek campground. 28 campers were killed, 19 of them buried too deep ever to be found again. The devastation was swift, but heartbreakingly fickle. Three brothers, sleeping in one tent, were spared. Their parents, sleeping in another tent beside them, were swept away and never seen again. A big earthquake, and I mean big, will happen sometime, Doss told me. You can count on that. This is a big fault zone for earthquakes. Despite the Hebgen Lake quake and the other known risks, Yellowstone didn't get permanent seismometers until the 1970s. If you needed a way to appreciate the grandeur and inexorable nature of geologic processes, you could do worse than to consider the Tetons, the sumptuously jagged range that stands just to the south of Yellowstone National Park. 9 million years ago, the Tetons didn't exist. The land around Jackson Hole was just a high, grassy plain. But then a 40-mile-long fault opened within the earth, and since then, about once every 900 years, the Tetons experience a really big earthquake, enough to jerk them another 6 feet higher. It is these repeated jerks over eons that have raised them to their present majestic heights of 7,000 feet. That 900 years is an average and a somewhat misleading one. According to Robert B. Smith and Lee J. Siegel in Windows into the Earth, a geological history of the region, the last major Teton quake was somewhere between about 5 and 7,000 years ago. The Tetons, in short, are about the most overdue earthquake zone on the planet. Hydrothermal explosions are also a significant risk. They can happen any time, pretty much anywhere, and without any predictability. You know, by design, we funnel visitors into thermal basins, Doss told me after we had watched Old Faithful blow. It's what they come to see. Did you know there are more geysers and hot springs at Yellowstone than in all the rest of the world combined? I didn't know that. He nodded. 10,000 of them. And nobody knows when a new vent might open. We drove to a place called Duck Lake, a body of water a couple of hundred yards across. It looks completely innocuous, he said. It's just a big pond. But this big hole didn't used to be here. At some time in the last 15,000 years, this blew in a really big way. You'd have had several tens of millions of tons of earth and rock and superheated water blowing out at hypersonic speeds. You can imagine what it would be like if this happened under, say, the parking lot at Old Faithful, or one of the visitors' centers. He made an unhappy face. Would there be any warning? Probably not. The last significant explosion in the park was at a place called Pork Chop Geyser in 1989. That left a crater about 5 meters across. Not huge by any means, but big enough if you happened to be standing there at the time. Fortunately, nobody was around, so nobody was hurt. But that happened without warning. In the very ancient past, there have been explosions that have made holes a mile across, and nobody can tell you where or when that might happen again. You just have to hope that you're not standing there when it does. Big rock falls are also a danger. There was a big one at Gardner Canyon in 1999, but again, fortunately, no one was hurt. Late in the afternoon, Doss and I stopped at a place where there was a rock overhang poised above a busy park road. Tracks were clearly visible. It could go at any time, Doss said thoughtfully. You're kidding, I said. There wasn't a moment when there weren't two cars passing beneath it, all filled with, in the most literal sense, happy campers. Oh, it's not likely, he added. I'm just saying it could. Equally, it could stay like that for decades. There's just no telling. People have to accept that there is risk in coming here. That's all there is to it. As we walked back to his vehicle to head back to Mammoth Hot Springs, Doss added, But the thing is, most of the time, bad things don't happen. Rocks don't fall. Earthquakes don't occur. New vents don't suddenly open up. For all the instability, it's mostly remarkably and amazingly tranquil. Like Earth itself, I remarked. Precisely, he agreed. The risks at Yellowstone apply to park employees as much as to visitors. Doss got a horrific sense of that in his first week on the job 5 years earlier. Late one night, three young summer employees engaged in an illicit activity known as hot potting, swimming or basking in warm pools. Though the park, for obvious reasons, doesn't publicize it, not all the pools in Yellowstone are dangerously hot. Some are extremely agreeable to lie in, and it was the habit of some of the summer employees to have a dip late at night, even though it was against the rules,